Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
You're listening to The Friendship Show on KX93.5. We'll be back right after this. Welcome to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5. That was Runaway by by Shayna Stabler, who, by the way, is our guest this morning on Friendship Show. Good morning, Shayna Stabler.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Laguna Beach.
How are you?
I am up. I am alive, right?
Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for having me come in. It's an honor. I'm just so happy to be here and be included. Thank you.
Wow. I was telling you before the show, when we posted that you were going to be the guest this morning, social media sort of blew up a little bit. And
it was definitely the wording you had. You know, it was. You have a great sense and knack for the marketing, and it was your post, Mark.
Well, it was my post, but I've posted lots of things. I've posted lots of things that haven't blown up on social media, so it might have had something to do with you. I'm not sure. The music. Can we talk about the music for a second? That was Runaway. That's
yes.
off. Is that new or is that off the old
it's
CD?
It's the first EP CD, which is called Stay. I released that in 2014. That song, Runaway, was kind of the lead single on that, and there's a music video on YouTube that we shot down at Aliso Beach. We did a drum circle, just sort of everyone come to the party, a dance, good vibes, fire, twirlers. So that was it has its own kind of story within a story, that song. But yeah, that's off the first CD.
Can I ask in that song, what you say? Is that everywhere we go, we're looking for a little more.
Still searching, right?
Are you searching, Shayna Stabler?
Yes, always.
You look like, you seem like a seeker to me.
Yeah, I mean, every day. Right. And every day you hope to be a little closer to that person that you want to be the next day and the next day. And we all have stories. And we share those stories, and we become connected, and we become closer. So it's always searching. And, you know, that song was a big healing song for me. And a lot of the music for me, especially the first CD, was about sharing and processing things that I hadn't processed, hadn't shared, and doing it in a way where this be the medium. And that was a big song as part of that process for me.
I think that song is probably a big healing song for everyone who hears it.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Would be my guess, yeah. Right? I
mean, definitely.
You sort of feel like you want to get out there and find something, right? It makes you want to do more.
Definitely, yeah. And your vulnerability makes the connection more beautiful and more possible.
And the universality of it, right?
I mean,
and that's what lots of times when people talk about art, they talk about, you know, those themes, those ideas, those emotions that are universal to us all. Mm-hmm. We are more connected than we are separate.
Oh, for sure.
And when we find those things that connect us, mm-hmm. that's when we share our most intimate humanity with each other, yes? Mm-hmm.
And
that's kind of from the music that I've heard of yours, and we'll hear some more music today. Is that it's so full of humanity.
I'm going to pull that quote. Wow, that was good. Thank you.
Put that on the next EP.
So full of humanity.
I gotta, Mark Miller.
I write that down. Thank you, Mark. But yeah, I mean, that's certainly what I strive for with the music is to bring about connection through it.
How would you describe your music? What's the style, if you can describe it?
That's the $1 million question that people have. Well, what's your, and of course, the first EP sonically is much different sounding than the second EP, which I have not released, but I've teased some of the songs and we'll play I think two off of today. So sonically, it's moved in a more synth pop, indie pop direction, which I think reflects where I'm at, you know, in my spirit, you know, a little edgier, a little less clean sonically than the first EP, which was a really warm, clean, beautiful sound and production. I was lucky to work with Ken Kalay, who happened to be Colby Kalay's father, and produced Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. He was the producer on that first EP.
So, really?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, so I got to go in and cut something out the gate, first project with somebody of that caliber with that experience. Wow. So I'm very happy with the sound of the first EP, but then personally I moved in a different direction, and, you know, I'm changing, growing, so the new EP has more of that indie indie synth sound, a little more of the, I love Depeche Mode. I love Churches with the V, you know, like those are the stuff. And I love Lady Gaga. This, one of the songs we're going to play today, I'd say like has that Lady Gaga influence. She's phenomenal. I mean, she's as a writer and as a singer. And I love her messaging, Born This Way, you know,
right.
Songs have a lot of meaning.
Right.
And, you know, a pop star with so much depth. So that's what I would, you know, hope that this new EP can connect in that way. So to answer your question, I'd say now it's definitely indie synth, indie pop somewhere.
Fun.
Hard to put a precise label on it.
Well, I mean, that's a really interesting sort of mix of things there. Mm-hmm. Indie synth, indie pop. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Indie and pop, what a, you know, to put indie with pop, they seem to be completely, you know, at odds with each other.
I find a lot of the music very dramatic, very theatrical.
Thank you.
Which I absolutely need as a compliment. That's why I think it's really interesting when you say that you worked with someone connected to Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of songs, and I have to go back and listen again.
Yeah.
There's a couple of songs that you do where really my first impression was, well, Annie Wilson and Hart got nothing on this girl.
Oh. Aww.
And so I was really kind of taken back to those kind of like big, you know, sort of 80s kinds of huge concert bands, you know, like Hart and Fleetwood Mac with, you know, big guitars and huge female vocal. And
well, I like the visual of this. I've got this visual, Mark. Can you put that? You'll be the director of the whole.
Absolutely.
And will you be a dancer as well on the tour?
That's going to be a great show.
I don't know about background vocals because you said that wasn't that.
No, that wouldn't be me.
But could we do and then
interpretive
Amanda,
dance?
Could you do the? Let's do it like after the show. Let's just go. And then we'll come back next.
I can state something for you. Musically, all I can do is I could probably bang on a tambourine.
It's very important.
I think so too.
Not just to the visual, but to the rhythm.
Rhythm holds, is the dancer. Right?
Rhythm is the dancer. That's such a good point.
Do you write all your music?
Yes. You know, collaboration is a key in everything in life. You know, you put two great minds, hearts together, you come out with something, you know, stronger than just the one. But some of them are you know, melody wise, lyrically, you know, you would say they came from me. But then you go into the studio and you collaborate, and it takes on a sound. So, you know, nothing is just mine. It's actually like, it's not even mine. It's like the experiences that I've had, those people gave me those experiences to be able to write. So it's not even really my song. It's, you know, my experience because of this person, these people that have given me these great experiences to get to share. Then in the studio, you know, you collaborate. So you might go in, with melody and lyrics, and then it completely evolves. And this process, the second EP, was a lot about that. It was coming in because I am not like a skilled instrumentalist. I write on the keys, and I grew up playing piano, so I can play. Like, you know, I stepped away for 10 years, and then went back, and it's like I knew more than when I left. It's very weird. It's like I can go to the keyboard, and I maybe I spend time away from the keyboard. It's been maybe months, and I get on there and I play better than when I. It's a bizarre thing because I don't use it. I use it as an instrument to write.
Right.
So, you know, your life experiences become more rich than your writing ability. Like, I'm going to get the most out of that instrument in this moment because I have something I want to share through this. So it's been an interesting. So I'm not, as far as instrumentally, you know, I'm a writer and I'm a singer and I love to share music. So when I go into the studio with the melodies, which I've written, and maybe some, you know, some chords, which is just sort of Stevie Nicks also wrote on the keys, on the piano. Then with my producer, then we take it to the next level. We spend, you know, sometimes all day, like from morning till evening, maybe, you know, come back and do it again. And that producer I work with on this project is Dave Tweedy out of Los Angeles. Loved this process. It was very much a collaboration, you know, coming in with ideas. I wrote some in Joshua Tree. Gosh, it's almost been 2 years ago since we started. It was November of almost 2 years ago when this EP got its first life, and went to Joshua Tree. Never had been, but I always loved the desert. I went with my guitarist, who's also very accomplished writer. You know, of we put maybe three, four concepts into play in those 3 days together, and it evolved from there. Not of the songs didn't end up going on to become full songs, but one of them, which we play today, I Don't Want to Know, we wrote in at Joshua Tree. We wrote the music, and then the melody. I would climb up into the mountains. We had a house rented right at the base of the mountain, and I would go with the headphones and listen to the music that we had just laid down, and I would go write the melodies up there in the mountains. I come back, and the lyrics didn't really come until after I got back, I remember. So each song and each process is different. Generally for me, the melody drives the song, and the lyrics come later.
Really?
Yeah, because you're going to ask that question. And someone like Stevie Nicks writes like books and books of lyrics and poetry, and then, you know, uses pieces of that in her songs. But no, for me, it's usually melody driven. I don't know if that's the German side of me. I think it might be because I'm German and Italian, both.
I have to say that does surprise me, because I would have thought that you came up with the lyrics first.
Isn't that interesting?
And then kind of plunked around on the keys.
I love the rhythm of lyrics. Like I love finding the lyrics that match the message, that match the melody. So it's an interesting reverse process. But I love it. Mm. Melody, and then finding those lyrics and things that have a rhythm to it. I love that, you know, music makes you dance, whether it makes you actually dance or not, make your mind dance or make your body dance. There's something in the rhythm of melody and lyrics coming together that really just excites me. Yeah.
We're going to hear later one of those songs. And okay. One of the things that really surprised me was when I listen to the lyrics, or I read the lyrics, it's the lyrics seem to be, you know, again, you know, sort of very emotional and very sentimental. The music, though, like you said, is very sort of edged a little bit and a little indie, a little grungier. And it takes this sentiment out of it. Someone once told me a long time ago is that you don't want to get bogged down in sentiment, because it's misleading. Mm-hmm. You want to put the message out and let people decide for themselves how they value it.
Yeah.
I just really thought it was such a mature way to put that song together. The song is Children of the Night. We'll listen to that later. I just thought it was a very mature musician choice, because you could have just gone, you know, drippy guitars and harps and all kinds of things. And you didn't. You kept it tight and clean.
Well, thank you, Mark.
All right. Let's listen to a song off the new EP,
okay.
Should we?
Yeah,
all right.
This is
I Don't Want to Know.
Okay.
You were just talking about it.
But do you want to know?
You want to tell us about it?
I don't want to know. Let's listen to it.
All right. Written in Joshua Tree 2 years ago.
Is it true?
By Shana Stabler. You're listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5. We'll be back right after this.
I don't wanna know.
Welcome back to the Friendship Show on KX 93.5. That was I Don't Want to Know off the soon-to-be-released EP.
This is true.
Of Shayna Stabler. It hasn't been released?
No, and you know what? I was going to say it doesn't have a name, but it does. Out of the Darkness, which is not a track on it. It will be released soon. I have six songs that have been done for a hot minute. I started working on two more, like,
oh, really?
And then I was like, yeah, I'm not ready to release it yet. So if you're listening out there, you know, thank you everyone who supported this EP and contributed and had a lot. I like to think of Laguna Beach as my record label. You know, right. It's been so much support in the community. But it's coming soon. Those two songs have to be on. And, you know, we're still working on them.
So is there a six-song version that's around?
Are there six songs?
Yeah.
I have six songs, yeah.
Because I just picked up a CD of yours the other day. What CD? What the last time I saw you, you were raising money for Friendship Shelter.
I gave you my original EP, which was 2 years ago. I need to burn you a copy. I got some bootlegs out there. I got something for you. I'll burn you a bootleg with six songs on it. Because there's more to be revealed.
I get it. I know that's why it's an EP.
I am having a show at Mozambique on September 19th. I'm calling it my EP pre-release. And that's not some tricky marketing, people. It's because I don't have it.
Done.
It's not done. I wish. I don't know when it's going to be done. It might turn into a full, you know, we'll just see. So I'm calling it an EP pre-release. There is no swearing, but pre-release. And I am going to burn copies for everyone that is there that attends of the EP, but actually you'll need to get it again when I add those two
if you want songs. The last two songs,
but you know, if you don't,
those will be the bonus tracks. Those will be the bonus tracks. You exactly. Should sell it twice.
You should
release it with
Mark.
Six.
that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Release it with six and then come back and
with
say
eight.
Now with two special bonus tracks.
But the six will be free if you come to the show.
Well,
so.
I don't know if that's the best marketing plan, Shayna, but but it seems like what you would do. Oh, just take it. Just take
well,
it.
Well, there's
some
something
music.
To give.
Share. I get it.
Share.
I get it. I
actually
get it.
Share the story. So much has been given to me.
2014, the CD EP,
yes.
In 2014. That was your first CD?
Yes, it was.
That doesn't seem possible.
Some of my first songs that I've written. Actually, I wrote a song in eighth grade called "Invisible Child." Didn't make the first EP, but they really were my first songs that I wrote from my heart. I mean, not everything got included in that, but it was that first. I started writing 3.5 years ago. I was telling Amanda that in the break.
That's amazing.
It's a new space for me. It was like I was ready, right? You know, it was time, and then it started flowing, and then it flows more. And whenever I'm in sort of a vulnerable space, you know, I go to the writing, and I go to the keyboard and I write.
How did that come to be? How did you find writing?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened. I remember I went and bought a keyboard, and I just started writing. But it was 3.5 years ago. Buy this keyboard, and it just started coming. I mean, instead of learning other people's songs, because like I said, I hadn't been on the keys or piano for like 10 years, but I used to play. So my fingers remembered everything. My mind remembered all the notes and what they meant. But I remember when I used to play, like music theory didn't click or make sense to me. And all of a sudden, all of the chords and where I should put them, it was there. It was very interesting. And so instead of learning other people's music, that time, I'm so grateful that I just started writing immediately. And, you know, it's not like everything that came out at first was, you know, this epic masterpiece or anything. But I just went straight to, my mindset was, I'm going to share my spirit through this. And I had been singing covers for a couple years, so I was over that. Yeah. So that kind of helped, too. I'd been singing other people's music on stage, and I had loved performing, but I was ready to take it to a different place. And
so you were you in a cover band before?
I was.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the name of the band?
Pinch Me Band.
Pinch Me Band?
Pinch Me Band. It was like a 6-7 piece, like, you know, a big, like, entertainment fun band with drums and multiple guitars. It was fun, you know?
Really?
Yeah, and I got that, the love of performance through that. I used to, I think I was 22 and I was living in L.A. It was before I came to Laguna. When I found Laguna, I was like, oh, this is home. I moved here without a job. I was going to figure it out. And, you know, 8 years later, it's, you know, this is my family. I love what you said. It was actually on your Facebook post. You said Laguna's daughter or Laguna's
favorite daughter.
That really touched me. I want you to know that. It's been resonating with me since I read it. And nobody's ever called me that. But it really is. It does feel like this is my family. So when you said
you're a big deal in town. Did you not know that?
Oh, please.
You're kind of a big deal.
Oh, please. A caricature?
No.
Not a character, but a caricature?
You can. First of all, I mean, you're Shana Stabler. I mean, you're kind of a big deal.
Oh, no.
I mean, you run a certain part of this town.
No.
I think so, but.
Well, you're very, very kind.
Well, that's why people like you, because you're so humble about it. But
I'm just a girl.
What's the nodding
Hill?
That's how she gets in. I'm just a girl.
And I'm then just she a girl looking for, remember Notting Hill, the line?
Looking for a boy.
Yes. Oh, yes, Julia Roberts. I'm just a girl looking for a boy to love her.
So yeah, simple.
It's just, but it is the universal message.
Yeah, I would just say that's how you get in and then take it all over, right? Is that what you do? That pretty smile of yours.
Oh,
I'm just a girl.
I'm just a girl. That's another song.
The next thing you know, she's running the town. How much of the work is autobiographical?
A lot. A lot of the songs come from experience. I have a lot of admiration for a writer like Natalie Merchant, who writes from every different place. Other people, she goes into historical spaces and writes from, the disempowered woman of this time. Like, she's amazing. She actually moves into these spaces over time and space and tells these stories. A lot of it's coming from my own personal experience, but not always my own. Sometimes what I see others are going through as well, but from personally experiencing that. So I jump between, within one song, I'm maybe jumping between my experience and two other experiences. They're not memoirs. So a song may seem coming from my voice. Well, it is, but I'm also sharing what I see maybe someone else going through in that song, while also jumping back to my own. So it's pretty chaotic.
And don't you find sometimes, because I've written some things for stage.
Yeah.
And personally, people love personal experience. And again, I think it's about that, sharing your humanity and making a connection. But sometimes, you know, you start with something that's very real and very personal. Mm-hmm. But as you figure out the best way to communicate the feeling and the essence and those kinds of things, the story starts to take on a shape of its own.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For someone who, you know, where like, you know, if my mom saw something, she would go like, why would you say that? That never happened. I'm like, Mom, it's theater. It's not real life. She goes, people think that happened. I'm like, Mom, why? It's a play. It's not real.
Exactly.
But it starts from something very real.
Yes.
Definitely.
All right.
I'm with you.
You, this past year, well, first of all, you're on the board of directors of Friendship Shelter.
I am, yes. It's an honor to be. It's been just about a year and a month that I joined the board July of last year. And it's been a great year. Thank you for all that you both do.
Oh.
Right
oh,
on.
Oh, thank you.
Every day, you know, every day helping them.
Did you hear? We're the number one rated program in America.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not that surprised either, to tell you the truth. I know that people work in that program.
What about internationally?
I think we're working on it.
Okay.
I'm not surprised either. I know that people who work in that program, it doesn't surprise me at all. Mm-mm. that they're regarded so highly.
Me either.
One of the things that you did when you came to Friendship Shelter as a gesture to our organization and to a huge gesture to the people that we work with, you talked about your experience mm-hmm. of being homeless.
Yeah.
Can you talk just a little bit about that today?
I was so happy when Dawn, executive director of Friendship Shelter, asked. We had lunch at Lumberyard, and I remember there were tears and there was, you know, a lot of sharing in that space. And then she asked, she said, would you share your story? You know, it could help people. And I said, yes. You know, was I ready? I was, because it happened, right? So sharing that story was a huge, huge thing in my life. Being at a place of vulnerability that I was at to be able, you know, to share that. But it, you know, you hope that it could help someone. You hope that somebody that hasn't had an experience with homelessness might be able to feel a little more connected to that experience. And then they would see the humanity right. in the person, you know, on on the bus, you know, the bus stop that could be their brother, their father, their sister, themselves. So, yeah, I had early homelessness and, you know, lucky that it hasn't been, you know, a recent experience, but coming into the world from about 0 to 4 was very chaotic and a lot of living in cars, hotels, there were shelters. Mm-hmm. They say those are the formative years of your life. And I will say it did have a profound impact on the way that my brain and emotions developed. And that's something that I'm, you know, working through today. So I shared that in December. It was the video that
you made a video
of
a personal testimony of your experience as a homeless child.
And my parents and the love that I have for them, who both suffer from mental illness, and how I feel so much love for them, and how living in a place like Laguna and having, you know, an organization like Friendship Shelter in your family, in your community, that takes care of the most vulnerable, that says we're not going to leave those people behind. I mean, it obviously touched my heart so much to be a part of that group and in a town where people stand up and they say, you know what, there's all this crazy stuff going on in the world. We can't control the national, you know, politics or funding, but together as a community, we can come together and we could do really amazing things to help people because we can and we care. So we do. So sharing this story when I was asked was, yeah, I'm going to do it. But on the flip side, since then, you know, it opened up a lot for it. There was that huge vulnerability space that it went to. So, you know, I've had to work through and process things that I hadn't worked through and processed yet when I did share. So it's been a huge blessing because was I ready? Well, I hadn't really done all of the work yet to get to that space. So there has been this, right. I'd say the last 9 months have been pretty intense emotionally for me because coming forth and sharing. And then once you share, you want to share more and you want to listen more and you want to engage more. So it's just like your heart just opens up, then the music becomes more, you know, it's like everything changes, but all for the better. And so, yes, it was an honor to get to share the story. And I'm so happy that, you know, the people that were able to hear it, that hopefully it helped some people or help one person.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's just so many ways, you know, that people can relate to it. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, we're doing radio and I don't want to come off as sexist or anything, but you're a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
I second that.
Right? I mean, she's a very beautiful woman.
Beautiful.
You're very kind.
And I think, you know, and I think even like just from that, you know, perspective, when people see you, I mean, you're beautiful, you're in shape, you're happy, you're together. And to say, you know, that's, homelessness doesn't define mm-hmm. anyone. Mm-hmm. It's just the situation you're in at this time. Yep. And people recover from homelessness. Uh-huh. And you have, and like you said, I'm sure there's lots of things still that you're trying to process in your relationship with your family and all of those kinds of things. But you seem to be recovering beautifully. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
and you have a relationship with your mother and father now.
I do. My dad, I call him Daddy-O. I hope maybe he's listening. He lives in Anaheim in a board and care, and I see him. We go out to dinner once a week, and I love my relationship with him. It's a dream come true. It's so interesting because I was raised by my grandparents, and my father was for the most part in the system. So our relationship was always. He always gave whatever he could. He always, you know, he was sending Christmas presents when he could. We would visit him in the hospitals. There was a relationship and a connection there. Same with my mother. But with my father, three and a half years ago. So it's funny. It just parallels with the music, too. He came here. He just showed up. And he had been out of my life for quite a while at that point. And he was homeless at that time when he came here. And he was not well. And we got him hooked up. He's, you know, 3.5 years later, he's in the board and care, his friends, I visit him, but it's like we have a real relationship today, and it exceeds any of those, you know, childhood, the fantasies that I had of, you know, of us all coming back together and living in one, like, no, we have a real relationship, and it's not all, you know, roses every day, but there's love, and I just love my daddy-o. He gives heart to my life, and so it is a dream come true, and I count that as one of the biggest blessings in my life, that I get to have daily interaction with him.
Wow. That's Shayna Stabler. She's our guest this morning on The Friendship Show. We're going to listen to Children of the Night off the new EP. Off the old EP, we're going to listen to Children of the Night. We'll be back right after this.
I
That's Children of the Night, off the original EP by Shayna Stabler, who happens to be our guest this morning on Friendship Show. Who are the Children of the Night?
Well, all of us at some point in our story and experience. But, yeah, I mean, the invisible, you know, bringing visibility to spaces and places and people that, you know, maybe don't have as loud of a voice or aren't being heard in the spaces and places that they could be heard. So just sharing those stories.
It's such a beautiful sentiment. And earlier I was arguing against sentiment, but
I am a sentimental.
Well, and that's sentimental. Why, well, that's probably why I have to fight against sentiment, because I can get very sentimental. But because we were talking about homelessness in the last segment. It's, you know, what homeless people say is the most difficult thing, the hardest thing for them in their experience of homelessness is that nobody sees them, mm-hmm. is that they walk down the street and no one will make eye contact mm-hmm. with them. And that, they said, is the most crushing experience. It's mm-hmm. worse than being hungry. It's worse than being tired. It's worse than not being bathed. It's that it's no one will...
Being seen and really mm-hmm. seen and feeling seen. And that's...
No one will acknowledge that I exist. Mm-hmm.
That well, I'm all for more acknowledgement and seeing and being and sharing.
Do you know what always happens on this show, Shayna Stabler, is we run out of time long before we run out of things.
I love how you call me Shayna Stabler. I know that's my name, but I haven't heard that in a long time.
Shayna Stabler?
Can we just please keep calling me that? I like it.
Really? Well, what do people call you?
Shayna Stabler has a little ring to it.
It sure does.
Thank you.
It's powerful. Yeah. It's powerful. All right. Tell us again, when are you going to be at Mozambique?
I'm going to be at Mozambique Monday, September 19th. The show will go from 7 to 10. I will play all my original music and a couple of covers, but music from first EP and second EP. I've got an amazing band. They come from LA. They're so great. And worked in the studio on the songs with some of my producers, the drummer and my guitarist is the guy we wrote, you know, in Joshua Tree with. So also have DJ Laura Buckle, who has a show here on KX95.
I know Laura Buckle.
Yeah, she's going to DJ before and after my set. So it's going to be different. I just figured it would be so fun. We did, her and I helped put together my video release party for my song Just For Tonight. The party was at Provenance. And she helped put it together, and she DJ'd there. And it was like such a smooth event, but also it was like such good vibes. I was like, I want to do this.
She's a fun girl.
She's fun, and she has a great heart. So there's going to be some dancing before, during my set, and after. So it's going to be a vibe. I hope everyone can come, and I will have bootlegs with the first six songs.
For the first six songs.
With the bonuses coming later.
When can we expect this? When can we expect the release? Do we have any idea? Do you think it'll get out before the end of the year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the songs are pretty... I wouldn't say they're pretty far along. I mean, they're getting there. I think they might be the best songs yet. That's how you feel about every. That's how, as an artist, you're like, the best is yet to come. I mean, I love all this. But these ones, I'm really excited. So, by the end of the year. I mean, I'm going to release singles, though, before then. So I have a couple of the songs released as singles. Just For Tonight and Hey Baby are on iTunes as singles right now.
Oh, right on.
Like teases. And Hey Baby is another song we didn't play today that's on the first EP. I will release I Don't Want to Know with a music video. You heard I Don't Want to Know tonight.
Right.
The music video is in edit. And I'm going to see the first cut on Monday. Ooh. We spent like a whole day, me and this guy, Dave DeSantis, we spent a whole day from morning until literally like midnight just guerrilla style shooting. It's went up to LA. We climbed on top of a train. We jumped into abandoned buildings. I like laid on couches in the middle of the, you know, alleys, and it ended. Let me just tell you where it ended. It bounced here in Main Street.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? So it could.
That's awesome.
This is for I Don't Want to Know. So I'm just putting a visual into your mind here. So that'll come even sooner, maybe in before the Mozambique show.
Oh, wow. I've shot with Dave DeSantis.
Oh, you have?
He's over at Fatbox, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, he's lots of places.
Yeah.
But he's also at Fatbox. He's also independent.
Yeah.
Yeah, his work is really... he's very talented. He's a very talented editor.
He's very talented. We worked together on the last two music videos. So I have music videos for two of the songs on this EP that are awesome. Not just for tonight. There's a music video on YouTube, and next to me is a very edgy music video for that as well. Do you remember that one? It's just me, and it's very dark.
No.
Oh, you go to.
I've seen. Oh, really? I'll go around and look. You've seen
stuff.
I've seen the evolution. I've seen the dripping mascara and all that stuff.
I think that's the one.
Is that it?
That's the one.
Shayna Stabler in like, you know what I mean? In like your boyfriend's, you know, work shirt.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, well, maybe that's just my fancy. I don't know. But you've got like the mascara running and it's like, oh, Shayna's really had a day.
She's had a day and she's had a week. She's had a life.
She's had a life.
That girl's upset. All right. Thank you so much for being our guest this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, both of you. And it's just such an honor and joy to be able to share this hour with you. I don't want it to end. Can we keep going?
I
want to say thank you to everyone in Laguna that's listening, that has been my family in this life, on this journey, that's supported me, encouraged, and been able. We get to share life and experience. And I feel so like the luckiest to have ended up here 8 years ago, and I'm not going anywhere.
All right.
Well, your sharing is very inspirational, so thank you.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Up next, Tommy J and Ida May are going to do some radio neighboring. They'll be in here in just a minute. But first, we're going to leave with We Try. Shayna Stabler was our guest this morning. We'll be back next week.